We're just thinking, like, what are we going to do next to eclipse that? We're not even thinking about what are we going to do next.
No, right. You have to eclipse
that.
You have to eclipse
that. You already have the biggest.
Mm-hmm. You have to eclipse that.
Obviously became a business where you were like, shit, now we got a real business that's worth a lot.
Start selling sponsorships, yeah.
Yeah, and then you were, when you became, you know, at one point you woke up and you're like, we have the biggest tech company there is, more or less. I mean, maybe social media, but the word wasn't really around yet, social media, right? So I don't even know what you would call yourselves. But so then you kind of had to get responsible.
Yeah. So the thing is, we had a parent company from day one.
You did.
It's Intermix Media.
Okay.
And they had a company called E-Universe before. They took it public.
I remember E-Universe,
Brad Greenspan, you know.
Yeah.
Rich Rosenblatt, a couple of those
guys. I know Rich really well.
Rich is a good guy. I love Rich. And Demand Media.
Yeah.
What did he do after that? He's a warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy. And so that was our parent company.
He's doing an NFT. He did an NFT platform.
Oh, he did? Which one?
He went around and launched one that he was doing celebrity NFTs. Like, he went and got a bunch of studio heads involved just like 3-4 years ago. And then,
how's that going now?
I think he's not talking about it anymore.
Yeah. I can't imagine. It's a tough
space.
That's
what I was going to ask.
He partnered with like John Feltheimer and you know, a bunch of the guys from the studios. He brought in friends of ours and they started an NFT company. And
I love Rich. He's so smart.
He's a smart guy.
Really smart guy. Yeah. He's just nonstop, keeps going.
We tried to buy them at one point. Mm.
Good you didn't?
Yeah. Well, they did IPO
they did.
At $1 billion and then it went bad from there.
Man.
Hope
he got out.
I think he did pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so then, you know, from that standpoint, I think there's a lot of unique tech that we had to build because it didn't exist.
You guys were first. Everything was the first.
So we had a partnership with Microsoft and we're saying, hey, we can't compute on drives.
Right.
It's too slow. We have to compute in memory. So we're the first mesh network memory. So we're storing everything in memory across data centers.
So we're like the first people to transcode, basically?
We're probably the first people to create a virtual mesh network of, you know, essentially you have data centers.
Right.
But we're computing in memory instead of on physical disk.
But people are having to pull it off, right? And
memory. We're storing all this in memory.
So it wasn't even transcoding.
Some of it was stored in a lot of it was stored in memory.
Wow.
So it was kind of cool.
How?
Like the first cloud is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. We didn't have clouds back then.
Right.
You know?
No, you were basically peer-to-peer. You were connecting peer-to-peer and then letting people.
Yeah.
They were creating a cloud before the cloud.
Well, because. Yeah, to have the cloud, you have to have everything connected.
You have to have everything connected.
And you didn't even... So, you get to the peak, and then tell us a little bit. Just I'd love to hear about, because I know at my peak, I look back and thought it was so great, because I was on top of the world. I was running Hollywood.
There, but right?
But like,
sitting on top of the world.
Sitting on top of the world. You know, I remember I green-lighted any movie I wanted, signing any athlete we wanted. You know, but I was traveling 270 days a year. I was in a 3PC 24/7. I didn't know what country I was in. I kind of like was numb to life. And all it was what's next? Like, we're 2 billion today. We went from, let's start a basketball agency. Amari's our first client too. Mm. We're the second largest sports agency in the United States. What's next? Okay. Yeah. Then we launched a branding company. And then all of a sudden we're like, whoa, we just sold Zika water to Coke. Okay. What's next? And it was like, we had to reinvent ourselves every day, and all of a sudden it went from being fun, for me at least, which I didn't realize I wasn't having fun, to like, how do I make it bigger? Because I have to, because that's what shareholders expect. Mm-hmm. It was no longer about like this entrepreneur. I started the company in an office where I went into the building and said to the dude, like, I can't afford the $3,000 rent, so I'll tell you what. I'll pay you $1,500 the first year, but I'll pay you $6,000 the second, knowing that I was either going to make it and couldn't afford the second, or I couldn't afford my internet. So I cut a hole in the wall at night, spliced my neighbor's DSL, and then repatched it up. Like, that's how I started Relativity at the time. So then all of a sudden I'm sitting there, and it wasn't fun anymore. But they were the fun days, even though that crazy shit, right?
Yeah, we had the fun days.
I know that feeling of you think it's an amazing feeling. You've just sold for massive payday. You guys are on top of the world. And yet, like, now you've got corporate parents, and you kind of have to act like grown-ups, which sucks. And you're turning in spreadsheets and revenues and, you know, profits and projections, and you miss a quarter or you don't hit it, and you got really pissed off business people that don't understand what the hell you're doing. I've dealt with that. So talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind, and how that changed everything.
It was quite contrasting. We were all seasoned entrepreneurs in the beginning, so it was not our first show. So we had been acclimated to accountability, right? Yeah. And so we had, everything was pretty accountable. All of our sales organizations, all the organizations were really, you know, structured really well. But when we came in after the acquisition, it was probably like 6 months. And so we started, we had News Corp involved, and it's like Fox Audience Network and Fox Interactive Media and all the different entities started becoming Michael Barrett, and all these people started coming in, which I like him a lot, by the way.
Michael, he's a good dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude. And so it ended up becoming this thing where it was more about, it was all about revenue now.
Right, it's numbers.
And lean out, right? So lean us out, revenue, lean us out. And
grow your revenue, grow your profit.
We're in the process of growing the biggest thing that the internet's ever seen, and then you get your balls chopped off, you know? So it was disheartening. It was tough. And
it's your baby.
It's depressing.
It's your baby, because same thing with me.
We're paralyzed. Our hands are actually tied.
Yep.
The site was experiencing user experience issues like nonstop spam and slow and issues, all kinds of issues. And we need engineers for that. You know, right. You have to hire people. Couldn't sustain. So we couldn't hire engineers. There was a hiring freeze. So what do you do? And then revenue. So many more ads. 10 times more ads than there was.
I remember that. That was part of the demise. Was like, it was like, wait, I'm just going on and just watching ads get served to me
everywhere. And then, and then the biggest part about the ads was the malware.
Yeah, you couldn't stop them.
Malware would come through the ads and it'd end up hijacking computers and stuff. And so it was a pretty big safety issue, and so people just started leaving, you know. And then Facebook said, "Oh, this is a huge opportunity. Let's open up to everyone."
Yeah,
I remember. And they were studying you guys.
Yeah. Well,
they basically mm-hmm. took your audience. I remember that. They kind of said, "We're gonna do what they did, but we're gonna make more of a closed network." Is the way I kind of see it. And I mean, I remember it was MySpace, and then it was MySpace and Facebook, and then. Yeah. You know, when Fox kind of did that to you guys. But I want to focus more on what you were feeling, because this is your baby.
Yeah.
I've been there, where I actually had hedge funds that owned us and giving us, you know, corporate governance, same thing, like cutting budgets. And, you know, we're the biggest thing since sliced bread, and they're telling us now, sorry, like, you know, your movie didn't open to the numbers you said. And it's like, yeah, well, I can't predict the movie business, but you can't? Well, then you shouldn't have that much money. You should have less, right?
Right.
But grow more. Mm-hmm. You know, we were breaking $1 billion in revenue, and they wanted us to, you know, be more profitable and, you know, hire less people and spend less money and complain about our budgets.
Yeah. Right?
So, but I remember thinking, like, this is my baby. I didn't really need to sell to them. Mm-hmm. Never wanted to sell to them. In fact, the first day they came to me, I said, no, I never will sell a share of this company. Like, I don't want a boss.
Sure. Yeah.
And somehow, over years, they kind of slowly built up. So talk to me about the feeling of, like, all of a sudden realizing this is your baby. This I didn't know myself. I say this all the time. At the time, relativity was me. I was relativity. I didn't know myself outside of relativity.
Sure.
And I had done many businesses like you, and I'd sold them. But I spent 10 years at that time or more, 11 years. Building this thing to be what it was.
Yeah.
Everywhere I went, it was the CEO of Relativity, founder of Relativity. And I didn't even know my existence outside of that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, by the way, now you have to change it. So talk about the feelings.
It was the same thing for us too. And we felt we were the brand, you know, because we had embodied it to build it, to grow it, to, you know, it was like, it was a personal thing. It wasn't, hey, these are your roles, these are your, you know, the objectives, but we were fully immersed.
It's not a 9-to-5 job.
We had fused into it. Yeah. You know, we'd become part of it. You know, we were, you know, part of the brand as an arm and a leg, you know, an appendage. So it was when this thing started happening, we started feeling the pain. And then when 2008 came around, our earn out ended and our contracts were up for renewal, we had the opportunity to renew, but then we decided collectively to just leave because there'd been too much damage. And when we didn't realize that once we left, we were going to feel this pain, this contrast, this shadow, our own shadow, right? That's good. And it's so painful. And it's, hey, did we fail? What did we do? Like, what happened? Where did we go wrong? And the sale was forced by parent company. We actually wanted to sell to Viacom, and the CEO got fired because that deal didn't go through at the time. So, but we wanted to sell to Viacom. We didn't want to sell to News Corp. And then parent company pushed the sale, and it was premature. It could have sold for more money eventually. We could have been in a better situation. We could have still been around, you know? But yeah, it was one of those feelings where, you know, I know how Kurt Cobain felt, because we all felt it, and we all had this depression. Tom had it, I had it, you know, of all the guys.
I went through it. Yeah. I talk about it here all the
really
time.
Really rough depression. Yes. It got to a point where it's like, hey, we're on Mount Everest, and all of a sudden you're on street level, you know? Yeah. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're just thinking like, what are we gonna do next to eclipse that? We're not even thinking about what are we gonna do next?
No, right. You have to eclipse
that.
You have to eclipse
that. You already
have
the biggest.
Mm-hmm. You have to eclipse that. So then, you know, it took me some time to figure out, and then I actually left with blessing from management. So I had a totally different situation than Tom did. So Tom didn't want to do anything anymore after that. He was just like, hey, you know, I don't want to work. I just want to do photography, you know?
Yeah.
It's great. So I said, I'm still young. I still want to do some stuff. So let's go back into business development. It was 2000. Sorry, I was 27 in 2003, and I left 5 years after. I was 32.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not time for me to retire yet. So let's do something. And so we had a problem. Yeah. We had 7 billion ads a day. 7 billion impressions a day. That's a lot. That was a lot. So it's too much, right? Usability issues nonstop. So under monetized, effective CPM, 1 penny across the board.
Jesus.
So low, right? So I said, hey, guys, this is a huge opportunity.
Even today, that's ridiculous.
It's insane, yeah. So I said, hey, guys, there's a huge opportunity here to monetize this better. I'm going to build the technology that's going to monetize this better. Senior management, great, fantastic, let's go. So I left, built a monetization solution to monetize it better, and I increased the yield significantly. MySpace was my first client. That was that company that I founded, and crushed it. And then, you know, profitable from the first month, and then kept growing, didn't raise a dollar, did hundreds of millions in revenue. Didn't raise a dollar until the IPO. No debt, no equity, nothing. Balance sheet was clean.
That's amazing.
And then I ended up raising, like $80 million in the public process, but over time. And so I did that, you know, something else. But the whole time I'm doing this thing, thinking, hey, this is not sexy. This is ad tech.